Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of CookieCast. Today on CookieCast, it's the football podcast, and we're all here. We're all talking football. That's right, it's a full boat today. Our missing member has returned to the fold. See, just like that, everything's back to normal. We've got all the football news, football reviews, and football previews coming your way. But before that, please do consider like, share, subscribe, and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And obviously, the number one thing on that list is to share the podcast around. If you've got a football fan in your life, send them this podcast. They might even thank you for it. Right then, let's get started. Here we go. This is CookieCast, football podcast.
Recording in progress.
Welcome along, ladies and gentlemen. And for those of you joining us on YouTube, you may notice that the podcast has a slightly different look to it than it has the last couple of weeks. Yes, that is correct. Our boat is once again full, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Mr. Matthew Moore. It's been a couple of weeks where he's not been able to join us, but he is back alongside Mr. Andrew Cook. And Mr. Stuart Wobbinsey, how are we doing this week, fellas?
I just thought I'd have a couple of weeks off because absolutely nothing happened at Nottingham Forest in those 2 weeks.
Well, that's definitely not true, but we'll come to that. We'll come to that. So,
that was a thing. If I'd have known we were going to draw like 5 games in a row, maybe I could have had like a 6-week break.
Listen, we all know that you're not allowed to just, like, basically just decide to sort of give up when the team goes to absolute shit. Because, obviously, had that been the case, I think I would have stopped supporting Borough in about 2009.
So, on
that note as well, right there should be the mention for the 200 Rotherham fans that travelled to Norwich. 20 points adrift at the bottom of the league to go and watch your team get thumped 5-0. That is a special amount of dedication or stupidity. I'm not.
Yeah, that's the, you know, this sort of the first signs of madness or something is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Yeah, that could now become the dictionary definition. Is just basically the picture of those Rotherham supporters.
I thought you were going to say Rotherham getting promoted. This year, you can stay up.
No, we won't. Yeah, but you go for that infinite sort of like cycle, don't you? Because it's obviously the definition of impossible is Rotherham staying in the Championship, but it's also like them staying in League One for some reason. So maybe they'll just give it a couple of years and they'll just create like a mid division that's just for them.
Just a sub league where they sit in the middle.
Exactly.
Anyway, B.
gone off topic, as seems to be the case. So, our first game of last week's fixtures saw Hull City take on Leicester City. Were you in attendance for this? I believe you may have been, as I believe we got some sort of text here about someone being, and I quote, still a shit out. So,
yeah, we were there. I had my first instance this week of having to try and explain to the boys about how he might have possibly been a former England player, but that doesn't not make him a prick. What a game to finish on for us, though, before the international / FA Cup break that now doesn't see another whole game until Good Friday. It was probably the most nervous I've been for a game in quite a long time, going up against Leicester at home, obviously league leaders. Sell-out crowd in attendance as well. So it felt like a bit of an occasion. Special mention to the just the club in general on the fact they did Tigers Trust Takeover Day and had kids doing some of the jobs around the stadium, like shadowing people. They had kit men, they had ground staff. But the best one was, I don't know her name, but a young girl who got to help the stadium announcer for the day. She should be there every week because it was not only incredibly cute, but she was hilarious. So it was quite a nice feel to it before it even started, really. And start it did. On 6 minutes, Regan Slater burst through into the penalty area. Mavadidi took him down for a penalty. Although, on review, I'm not really sure the foul was necessarily inside the area, but hey-ho. Penalty was given. Cavalio stood up, went to the keeper's right, but it was saved by Hermansson, I say, on 6 minutes. But Cavalio did make up for his miss just 10 minutes later. We decided that we've seen teams use a high press against us all season who like to try and play out from the back. So, for once, they flipped the script. Zerouring pressured, is it Wout Face or whatever? I'm not sure how you pronounce his surname. Slipped it into Carvalho, who slotted on comfortably. Although Leicester did respond fairly quickly. Dewsbury Hall had a shot from the edge of the box, which was pushed onto the post by Ryan Alsop. And very shortly after that, the ref gave a very soft penalty as Seri challenged Fatawu in the box. It was one of them ones where you've seen him not given. Seri probably did the stupid thing by giving him a decision to make in the first place. But it was a very, very soft penalty. Also as well, perfect execution on the going down in stages, looking like you've been shot by a sniper a bit. That was exceptional. But yeah, Vardy stepped up, scored to Alsop's left. Alsop did get a hand to it, but just couldn't get enough on it to push it around the post. And then, yeah, Vardy proceeded to be an absolute bell end. He had been taking a bit of stick from the crowd, but he's Jamie Vardy. He should be well used to this by now. But proceeded to walk up to the family stand and start having a go at people. He's done nothing for his reputation in my book this entire game, but we'll continue. Further to that, he had already been booked on about 25 minutes because, again, he's filth. And after he scored the penalty, his entire team had retreated back to their half, ready to restart the game. And he was still having a go at kids and parents in the family stand who hadn't said half as much to him as like the opposite end of the ground had in any part of the game. He was there for a good 2 minutes, maybe, after his team had fully retreated. So, in many ways, possibly could have been done for inciting the crowd if the referee had any bollocks, but never going to give that, unfortunately, although should have potentially have happened. Second half sort of pretty much went the same way. Both teams playing some decent possession football. Zerouri struck on 60 minutes to make it 2-1 to Hull. Left-footed shot from just outside the area, but the crowd had barely sat down before Leicester then slotted a ball between Greaves and Jones to everyone's least favourite blue wicked drinking dickhead, who levelled the game at 2-2. It was just 2 minutes after Hull had taken the lead. It probably was a fair result. In many ways, it was a hell of a game. I really enjoyed watching it. Not so happy about the result in the end, by the way it went, but at least we didn't lose. Even on possession, Leicester had 15 shots to Hull's 8, but only 2 of their shots were on target. So the penalty and the goal, and that was it. As Hull had 5. If anything, the only sort of downside, aside from the fact we didn't win, was it was another one of them games where the ref was massively inconsistent and it just kind of spoiled the flow of certain patches of the game. Something that Greaves got booked for in at one point, same challenge happened from a Leicester player, didn't book him. But then simultaneously vice versa as well, like something that Leicester were getting pulled up for. Paul tried the same thing and didn't. So it was just a bit disappointing. I think I know that the standard of refereeing is something which is discussed massively across all levels of the game, but for some reason it feels like this season it's just fallen off a fucking cliff. I have no idea why, so hopefully that can be addressed in the coming months. But bottom line is Hull 2, Leicester 2, Carvalho and Zaruri for Hull, and Jamie Vardy twice for Leicester.
More importantly, keeps the unbeaten run going.
Yeah, but we did drop out of the top six thanks to the aforementioned Norwich's whooping of Rotherham. Ironically as well, they won that game 5-0 and we are level on points. Do you want to guess what the difference between our goal difference and their goal difference might be?
Is it five?
It's five, yeah.
Yeah, I think obviously the concerning thing would probably be how many is it now they've gone without a win at home?
Yeah, plenty. Too many. Like I said to you last week though, like it's the thing that grates on me is that one more goal in maybe two of these games and they'd be comfortably fifth.
Yeah. It's exactly the same thing we discussed last week, isn't it? It's that sort of thing where, it's really good going on this unbeaten run of seven games or whatever. Yeah, if you're only taking a point from four of those seven games, you'd much rather win two, lose two.
In theory, you could go unbeaten all season and still get relegated if you drew every game.
So exactly. It's a strange one. Obviously, like we say, they're playing the team top of the division, and don't think you can ever really pass up the opportunity to get a point off the team that's been streaking away with the league.
Well,
all season.
They've not beaten us this year because we beat them at
that
place.
I was going to say the combined as the podcast we've managed to take, or they've only taken one point off any of us of the 12 on offer all season. So I'd say we've done pretty well. The other annoying thing is obviously the fact that it's the points that we have taken off has allowed the lot from Elland Road to get back into the title race as well, potentially. So, but that's neither here nor there, and we're not a league-based podcast, so we don't need to designate any time for those wankers. Podcast predictions-wise, obviously, Matt was unable to provide any fixture, any results or predictions, sadly. So Matt won't be getting any points this week, I'm afraid. Unless he wants to give us his predictions now, in which he was going to go for a 2-2 draw with Carvalho, Zaruri and two strikes from Vardy. Yeah, there you go, 5 points, correct. yes, so, sadly...
Six plus bonus points for getting exactly right.
Sorry, I do apologise. sadly, Matt is not the only one getting 0 points this week, as Andy had a 1-0 Hull win with Philogene to score. No points there. Stu had a 1-0 Leicester win with Winks to score. No points there. And I had a 2-0 Leicester win with Mavadidi and Akgun to score. I don't know if you got a program with him. Was Akgun indeed Turkish?
We didn't get a program. Couldn't tell you. Can't really remember. He didn't stand out as a player.
Well,
there was a couple of things.
Let's just say we'll watch this space, and if he turns up at Hull in the off-season, he almost certainly is Turkish. So, yes, no points for any of us from one game. Our second game of the week saw my boy Middlesbrough travel down to London to take on Queen's Park Rangers. This was a first half that had very little to sort of write home about. A couple of chances for each team. One where the Borough keeper, Sen Dieng, was almost caught out, being off his line, had to sort of scrabble back and tip an effort over the bar. But the score was a 0-0 at half time. On the hour mark, however, QPR went clean through, and their striker actually rounded the goalkeeper, and it was only a last effort, a last-ditch sliding challenge from Rav Vandenberg that kept the game at 0-0 on the 59th minute. And it was imperative that he did that, as Borough took the lead not too shortly after that. It was a free kick from Johnny Howson just inside the QPR half that had just lofted up to the edge of the box. QPR player got a head onto it, but only was able to get it out into the path of Matt Clark on the left-hand side, who lifted the ball back in for Emmanuel Latte-Lath to score first time on the volley. Looked as if he almost missed it, as it didn't fly crisply into the top corner, more dribbled into the bottom right corner, and the keeper was unable to set his feet. But at the end of the day, it's a goal. I'll take one that goes in off, I don't know, an uneven blade of grass, if it's a goal for my team. So I will take all that is going. One was made two when Marcus Fors popped up with yet another goal. Ball had been played in from the edge of the box by Luke Ailey, who got his second assist in two games. Just floated it nicely to the back post, where Marcus Fors peeled off and just managed to glance his header back over the goalkeeper from a bit of a tight angle to make it 2-0. And that's how the game finished, kicking out to a 2-0 another win. A second win on the spin to move them, I would say, comfortably clear of the relegation zone to allay any lingering fear that they might be dragged into the relegation scrap and keep them as an outside chance of making the playoffs come the end of the season. Predictions-wise, myself and Stu had gone for draws. So Stu had gone for a 1-1 with Dykes and McGree to get the goals, so sadly no points for Stu. I had gone for a 2-2 draw with Field and Willett to score for QPR, Greenwood and Fors to score for the Boroughs. I do manage to bag myself a bonus point for Marcus Fors getting a goal. Andy had obviously got the crystal ball out. As he had gone for a 2-0 Middlesbrough win with Fors and Latte-Lath to score the goals. So he was only let down by the fact that he got the goal scorers the wrong way round in this game. But I have nevertheless given him 2 points for the correct score, a point each for the correct goal scorer, and the bonus point for getting the score and the scorers bang on. So Andy gets 5 points from that game alone. And he is quite rightly taking the applause from the podcast crowd audience. Well played, sir. Our third game of the week took us to Sunday's slate games, and it saw Brighton and Hove Albion fresh off the back of a pumping in midweek by Roma in the Europa League, taking on Nottingham Forest. Is it safe to say this one didn't really go to plan, Matthew?
Wow, you know, easy pickings. no, it didn't. I think when you immediately look at the lineup and you think, that doesn't look great, doesn't look very attacking, doesn't look like you're going to go out and win the game, put pressure on a team that's not won very much recently, even though you haven't won much recently either. I don't know why all of a sudden where he's taken Gibbs White out of the middle, which where he was playing really well. Alanga seems to be out of favour. I don't know if he's like got a bit of a knock at the moment and can only be used for short amounts of time. Awonye, his injury is being managed, even though he played 90 minutes plus against Man United in the Cup the other week, which was a massive bugbear of mine at the time. And Origi seems to have weaselled his way into the team as well, which I don't quite understand. So, yeah, I don't know, not much attacking threat, apparently, from Forest. Then led to a nice early own goal from Omar Bamadeli. What a surprise, it came from a free kick in a kind of corner position-ish. So, yeah, shock horror, Forest conceded a goal from that. And then Brighton kind of dug in to kind of keep Forest out. I think Forest came out a bit more attacking in the second half. Nico Williams got assaulted by one of their midfielders, but it was just a booking. And heaven forbid VAR in. I mean, like, when I first saw it, I thought, ah, maybe people are overreacting a little bit. And then you see it again, and he's definitely off the ground. There's definitely 2 feet going in there, and the studs are definitely showing. I feel like, even though I've not been on for 2 weeks, I feel like every time I've been on recently, and even though in the past 2 weeks when I could have been on as well, VAR is broken. Like, it's just fully broken. And I'm going to say something not controversial, but kind of thing. It wasn't broken before. It was just annoying. They were getting the decisions right. When there was all the hoo-ha last season, they were getting the decisions right. This season, they're not getting the decisions right. It's all wrong. You know, like I said, we can go back over weeks and weeks and weeks of Forest decisions. And it's not just Forest decisions, it's decisions across the board. And either someone doesn't know the rules, or someone isn't applying the rules properly. But it was fine, it just needed fine-tuning. They've ripped it down to the studs and then built a straw house, and it's not working. Because if that wasn't a red card, I don't know what is. And last season, the VAR would have asked the referee to look at the video. The referee would have looked at the video and gone, yeah, that's a red card, send him off. Now, I'm not saying that Forest would have won the game, but it's just terrible decision after terrible decision. And I don't, it's not an excuse for the predicament that Forest are in. Forest are the masters of their own downfall on a regular basis. But you don't need extra people contributing to it. But yeah, petered out into a 1-0 defeat. Great, yay. But yeah, 1-0 defeat over Bamadeli. Own goal. Yeah,
it's just another one of those ones, isn't it? I think that Gibbs White came out in the post-match interviews and said it's just getting beyond a joke now. It's just laughable as to how comedically inconsistent it's being, in the fact that how is it possible that in like consecutive weeks, Forest have been like basically just like, without saying it in as many words, robbed of decisions that have cost them games. And like you said, obviously, like, and I don't think he even tried to hide yet. I don't think it was a case of him saying that was the only reason they lost those games. It wasn't even that he was like saying that. He was just basically saying, like, obviously, yeah, fair enough, we've got to take our chances for that. But at the end of the day, if we're basically starting each game with one arm tied behind our back because we know we're going to get some sort of horrendous decision go against us where it's not going against other teams, how are we supposed to compete with that? And he's got a point. So,
well, I think this is the thing. It's like, you know, I don't want to troll over it too much, but obviously a 1-1 against Newcastle, they were drawing at the time. That would put Forest in the lead. Nico Williams against against West Ham, so they won that one anyway. But still, that could have been at a turning point. It was only 1-0 at the time. West Ham could have gone down the other end and scored. Obviously, the whole Liverpool debacle. I mean, yeah, just that we don't need to retread over that one because that's just. That is sheer incompetence, don't know the rules, shouldn't be a referee, didn't listen to his fourth official. I mean, let's give up on that one. And then that one there, you know, like I said, Forrest aren't saying, you know, well, I think there's some kind of woe is me about it, but there is that element of people don't mind having decisions against it as long as it's consistent. And it's pretty much right. When it's wrong and inconsistent, then people get annoyed. You know, I don't like this media kind of thing of saying, oh, we need to just get rid of it. We never wanted it. Well, you did, because I'm sure if you went back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you can have videos of Neymar pundit, Shearer, Wright, Mercer. Take a pick of them, all saying they need video help, they need someone helping them to get these decisions right. And now they've done it, now they've changed their mind because they're not getting it right again. You know, so the referees are damned if they do, damned if they don't. Referee mistakes are 150, 170, 180 years old. But if you're going to put a solution in place, you better make sure that that solution is pretty foolproof, and particularly nowadays where you've got, you know, it's a little bit more, you know what, people are a bit more moron, shall we say. But yeah, I, like I said, it's no point in crying over spilt milk, because a lot of Forest's downfall this season is going to be of their own making, and not just referee based. But yeah, 1-0 loss over Bamadeli on goal. 6 points
on Saturday. Mm, very much so. And it doesn't really get much better from a podcast perspective, as we all had draws. And none of us had an own goal with the goal scorer. So I had 2-2 with no own goal. Stu and Andy both had 1-1 with no own goal. So 0 points across the board. Very, very disappointing. 2 games left in week 32's fixtures. We'll go to Liverpool versus Manchester City next. But before we get to that very, very crucial and important game at the top of the Premier League, we are just going to step away momentarily to charge our glasses and our minds to return to you the rest of the week's fixtures. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Recording in progress.
Just like that. Back at it. So, like you said, our next game to cover was the vital top of the league clash in the Premiership, and saw Liverpool taking on Andy's newly adopted Manchester City side. Now, I think a lot of people have this down as a potential Manchester City win to hopefully remove Liverpool from the title contention. Sadly, it did not pan out that way. But it also didn't pan out in the way that Liverpool won the game and put Manchester City out of the title race. It was a nice middle grounder, as it were, and they finished as a 1-1 draw. Manchester City took the lead with a neatly worked corner routine. Kevin De Bruyne taking the corner from the right-hand side, played it into the near post where John Stones had locked his marker and flicked in past the despairing Quilan Kelleher in the Liverpool goal to make it 1-1. Thought it was quite interesting when the Liverpool fans were straight out on saying, why did that? Look at Ake. He's clearly blocking the guy's run. Why has that one not been allowed for offside like the one in the cup final did? Well, for starters, it was a corner and the ball got played backwards. You absolute rem. Work out what the offside rule is and come back to me. They're all the same. They're all the same. So Man City went in 1-0 up at half time. Within mere seconds of the second half starting, however, Liverpool had been given a penalty. At first glance, I thought it was a bit of a dive from Darwin Nunez, but we watched it back several times over. Ederson does give him a good clattering, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. It's John McGinn levels of assault, that one.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't quite go that far, but it was that.
Yeah, not,
it was kicking him over in the box, not kicking him into the fucking stand. Was the
not one of Ederson's better challenges, shall we say? And he actually came off the worst at the end of this. He was able to get himself up back on his feet. I believe he got a yellow card for his problems, and was well enough to stand up to face the penalty. Which Alexis Mac Alistair scored, but he had to go off injured a couple of moments after that. Ortega coming on to take his position for the rest of the game. And strangely enough, even though Liverpool were missing several first team players, it was kind of all Liverpool for the remainder of the second half. Man City had a couple of chances in Jeremy Doku at the post in the last minute, which could have won it. And then, interesting enough, went up the other end and almost decided to assault Alexis Mac Allister in the box. But because he got a very deft touch on the ball before he decided to de-jong him straight in the chest, no penalty. And I couldn't agree more with that decision. Absolutely fantastic decision by the referee.
It was the only video that Drew McIntyre will be watching on the road to WrestleMania for retraining himself to play more. Like, it was a full-on boot to the chest, wasn't it?
I'd love to think that somewhere someone has dubbed over, just like, you know, Claymore! And stuff like that, which for anyone watching or listening to the podcast that is unfamiliar with the phrase Claymore, do yourself a favour and Google it, kids. Drew McIntyre, Claymore kick. Probably watched the one against Cedric Alexander where he basically flips in 360 degrees. Always a nice one. Like we said, just the two goals in this one panned out to a 1-1 draw, which was mostly beneficial to Arsenal, of all the teams. Left them top of the league, left them level on points with Liverpool, with Man City just the 1 point behind. A very interesting title race for the last 10 games of the season to come. Sadly, from a predictions perspective, no one had a 1-1 draw. Also, no one had Stones or Mac Allister to score for either of the sides. So, no points across the board. Stu had a 1-0 City win with Haaland to score, and they had a 2-0 City win with Haaland and Alvarez to score. I had a 2-1 City win, Foden and Silva with Salah to score for Liverpool. So, no points across the board. Sad. Our final game of the week saw my boys in action again, taking on Birmingham City at St Andrews. This was a rearranged fixture from the FA Cup fourth round weekend after Birmingham had selfishly dumped Hull out of the FA Cup and had to have this one rearranged.
Not twice.
No, just the one, Stu.
We did play them in a replay, though, so, you know.
That's fine. This one started quite well for the Borough. After 7 minutes, they found themselves in front with what can only be, I've actually written in the book, Thunder Bastard. So, I was literally just going to leave it at that and not explain the goal any further, because if you've not seen it, oh my, watch it. What a beauty. It's the third time in three podcasts his name get mentioned, but Luke Ayling, fair play to him, pops himself up in the right place at the right time to win the ball back from Alex Pritchard, who tried to drive the ball out from defence. Got caught on it, and if you watch the footage back, he basically just gives up. He loses the ball and then just sort of like his arms come down to his side, and he basically just watches the Borough players just walk through the Birmingham. Absolutely hilarious. Ayling won the ball off Alex Pritchard, played it into the path of Ryan McGree with a little reverse ball, got out of his feet, and then just absolutely rifled it in the top left, in the top right hand corner. John Ruddy, very unhappy, was showing his anger by booting the ball straight back into the goal and then turned around. I can only presume to chastise Alex Pritchard for just basically not giving a shit when he lost the ball in the middle of the park. Very, very funny. And that was kind of it for the rest of the game. I was watching the guys put on mute to see if anything was happening, because it was a rearranged fixture for Saturday. They didn't have the rights to put this one on TV, which was incredibly annoying, as there was no other championship fixtures on the season. So it would have been quite nice to have been able to watch it, but sadly, wasn't the case. No other real chances to speak of, to be honest with you. So it panned out as a 1-0 Middlesbrough win. Third win on the spin takes us within 5 points of the playoffs. It's probably going to end up being a little bit too much of an ask for us to get in there, but it does leave the door ajar, so to speak. We'll see. We'll see what happens from the end of the season. Predictions-wise, I've gone for a 2-1 Birmingham City win. So I was dead wrong. But I did have McGree to score for the Boroughs. So I did manage to bag myself a point for the goal scorer there. Andy had gone 2-0 Borough with Fawes and Greenwood to score. So no point for the goal scorers, but does get himself a point for the correct result. Stu had gone for a 1-0 Middlesbrough win. 2 points right there. Sadly, he had picked Greenwood as his goal scorer. I can only presume because the amount of times he picked McGree and he hadn't delivered the goods, he was thinking, well, fuck that guy. I'm not picking him again.
I had picked McGree for the other game in the predictions last week, so I didn't want to pick him again. But then, having heard the scores coming through when they did, I was like, yes! And then I was like, ah, no, that was the wrong... The wrong...
Yes, but he does get himself 2 points for the correct score line. So, all that means is that for the week, from five games, both myself and Stu had a whopping 2 points. Andy, of course, takes the week with 6 points for five games, that whopping 5 points from the Middlesbrough QPR game, bagging him the win. Just three games this week, as it's FA Cup weekend, and I believe Hull's game against Coventry?
Yeah.
Would have been arranged for this weekend, but Coventry found themselves in quarter-final action of the FA Cup, so unable to fulfil that fixture. Hull will have this week and indeed next week off from an international perspective. So won't play again until, as you said, Good Friday.
At least the game that we're getting rearranged isn't against another potential playoff contest. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's...
Well, so... Our first game of week 33 fixtures sees Luton Town taking on Nottingham Forest. All tasty. Obviously, when we go into this game, there is a distinct possibility that this could be both teams level on points, which certainly seems to be the case, as Luton are currently 3-0 up in their rearranged fixture at Bournemouth, in which a win will take them out of the box. Replacing themselves with Nottingham Forest. Fingers crossed Bournemouth can come back and get some goals to equalise that one up and potentially even win the game. But it obviously is Mr. Moore's team, therefore he will give his prediction last. I've gone for an optimistic 2-1 Nottingham Forest win on this one. You know, maybe even, dare I say, getting some VAR decisions going in their favour. As, you know, Luton have definitely cheated to get points against some of our teams in the past, so let's have some favour going our team's way for us against those dirty bastards. I've gone for Morris to score for Luton, and then I've gone for the old double-barrelled double, a goal each for Gibbs White and Hudson Odoi. Stu, what have you got down for Luton versus Forest?
Well, let's be frank, the game shouldn't even be taking place in that shithole of a stadium that's absolutely not up to standards. Let's just get that one out right away. Unfortunately, both teams seem to be able to concede as many as they score. So I've gone for a 2-2 draw. I've gone for everybody's favourite other dickhead that's not Jamie Vardy in Morris and Chong. And then for Forest, I've got a Wanyi and a Langer.
Andy?
So, it's a 0-2 for me. Forest to win. As is the way, I'm going to be putting a Wanyi down. But I'm reliably informed that Forrest have been on the blue pills again, haven't they? So we've got wood, guys. We've got wood.
Physio had a little dig around in the old medical cupboard. Found a little blue pill. He rose again.
Let's hope he's, right back at it.
Let's hope he's up to the task, did you say?
Well, on Sunday, not so much. We were let out.
Go on, Matt, how do you see it going for you boys?
Well, to quote Bolo from the Mighty Boosh, I've got a bad feeling about this.
You've never been to the Crunch.
That, I mean, I would suggest that folks are scared of the Crunch. I've gone for a 3-2 Luton win.
Forest's favourite scoreline, for God's sake.
I just think, well, apparently we will have a decision on the FFP, PSR, whatever the fuck you want to call it now, thing by the end of this week. Obviously not in time for the podcast, because that would be kind and convenient. But we can do a deep dive on that next week. Congratulations to everybody. You get to watch me have a full-on meltdown of stuff that I've been saving up since January. I just think, based on the result tonight, well, if the result carries on the way it is at the moment, I think Bournemouth have pulled one back. They'll be on a high. If Forest get points deductions, it'll boost it. And one or two things are going to happen. Either Forest will come out and it'll be absolutely bang on, but evidence would suggest at the moment the absolute opposite happens. They go into their shell, they expect to win, and they won't. I hope that they don't start like they did last week. I just hope they go and try and tear an absolute new one, instead of what most people seem to do, is they seem to roll over and fall for this Luton shit. And I just hope Forest just go out and go, right, we're going to absolutely batter you for 90 minutes. But Nuno doesn't seem to do that. And Forest, therefore, don't seem to do that. So I've got Barkley, Ogbene and Morris scoring for Luton. And Elanga and Awoniyi for Forest. I just hope that they're just going to go out and hopefully the other two don't happen. But, you know, they scored. Luton has scored, I don't know, it's a couple of set pieces today. We know what Forest's Achilles heel is.
Need to get that set pieces coach if they want to defend them rather than scoring.
Should have had Luton down to win this game anyway, because this was the rearranged one after the captain got taken off badly, wasn't it? And he's back in the stands tonight, so doing it for the captain.
Yeah, I suppose that is the only sort of good thing you can say about Luton, the fact that their captain isn't dead.
So. He's risking his health, though, going back to Bournemouth and spending time in the stadium.
Listen, we all know that a strong gust of wind in that stadium could be in tatters, so let's just pray for all involved that the vitality, that the magnificent vitality stadium, not at all tin pot or tin shed.
Especially the most ironically named ground in the entire country.
What, the lack of vitality stadium?
Yeah.
We'll move swiftly on. Our second game sees my boys Middlesbrough taking on Blackburn Rovers, who up until this point, I didn't realise, were quite deeply admired in the relegation scrap in the Championship. I didn't realise just how bad it had gone for them this season. Obviously, it's my boys, therefore I will go last with my predictions. So let's go to Andy. His thoughts first on Middlesbrough versus Blackburn Rovers.
I'm going to keep it rolling. I'm going to get two fine goals for the Borough. Nothing for Blackburn. They don't get goals. I've gone with fours, and a new favourite for me. I'm going to predict Greenwood. You know, why not?
Stu?
I have got a consecutive 1-0 win for Middlesbrough with Latte Laugh to score the goal.
Matthew?
I've gone for a 2-1 Borough win. Gone for Latte Laugh and Azaz. And Sammy Smodic to get a goal.
Carry on in this spin, he will be there next year.
Yeah.
I think regardless of what division that Blackburn particularly find themselves in, he won't be there. I'll be amazed if he do you not just think he just screamed Bournemouth or Everton sign?
Particularly if Everton get relegated, yeah.
To complete the set, as it were, I've also gone for a Borough win. I've gone for 2-0, goal each for McGree and Latte Laugh. Fingers crossed we can make it 4 wins on the spin, but for some reason we seem to struggle at home against the teams that are, and I use this term loosely, shite. But we'll see. Our last game of the week sees Andy's adopted team of Manchester City in FA Cup action, taking on everyone's favourite team that wears jumpsuits as if they've come out of prison, Newcastle United. It's Andy's team, therefore his prediction will go last. I've gone for a 2-0 Manchester City win, with a goal each for Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne. Stu, what have you got down for City versus Newcastle?
You've stolen a couple of goal scorers, but I have got Manchester City 3, Newcastle United 1. I've got Foden, Haaland and De Bruyne, good old Ginger Kev, and Gordon for Newcastle.
Commissioner Gordon. Matt!
You've not really introduced this game properly, because this game should be everyone's real favourite time of the year. The inevitability happens.
Well, I was going to wait, and I was going to see if we'd all gone the same way, and then I was going to introduce it at the end, is it's like, you know, that most wonderful time of the year, where we just had another notch to the trophy virgin's amount of years gone without lifting a trophy.
I've gone with Man City 2-1 win, Haaland and Foden to score for City, and Isak to score for Newcastle.
Go on then, Mr. Cook. You get to close us out this week with your prediction for your boys' City.
Everyone's getting 2-0 this week. So, City 2-0, Haaland and Alvarez.
There we go. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is your predictions. And like we said, fingers crossed, we do get to celebrate that most wondrous time of the year when it's another season without something going in the trophy cabinet apart from the Hoover at Newcastle United. I believe, Mr. Wolverty, you have some odds for us, and you've included City in this week's bet.
Because of the lack of Hull City, I have substituted in the Manchester variety for this week's. So for the three teams involved in next week's predictions, as we know by now, it's always the draw that the three draws that have the highest odds, right? Not this week. So,
wow.
Odds on Middlesbrough, Manchester City and Nottingham Forest to win as a treble will get you a shade over 4-1, which I think is the lowest we've had so far. But all three teams to draw, that kicks it up a little gear because it puts it just a shade under 79-1. So still a decent return if the draws happen. However, for Luton to beat Forest, Newcastle to beat Manchester City and Blackburn to beat Middlesbrough, not only will that get you apparently a frosty day in hell, but it would net you a record 112-1.
So, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean,
I imagine a large portion of that will be made up of the Newcastle result, which I would imagine. Have you got the odds in front of you?
Yeah, Newcastle on their own to beat Manchester
City. 5 or 6-1?
Whoa, try 10s.
Woohoo! Wow. Now that's surprising because they're both Premier League teams. So not to give live updates on the podcast as such, but Bournemouth have just scored a second goal to make it 2-3 on the night. I I take back everything I've said about Bournemouth. It's a wonderful club. Their stadium is delightful. It's never been anything other than my favourite place in the world.
Only if they score at least another goal, right?
But only if they score two more.
Yeah.
Yes, so, obviously this week, if you're looking to make money, you'd be backing the sides that we don't support. But if you wanted to still continue to watch the podcast, let's put it this way. If Newcastle do somehow manage to pull off that result against Man City, Andy, he's not becoming a Newcastle fan. He's just not. He's just not. We're not doing
it. When I was looking at the predictions over the last few weeks, and scrap that, to be fair, over the whole season, Andy has had a real run of form of potentially terrible teams that he's going to end up with. Because, in the last few weeks, we've managed to avoid Liverpool about three times, I think. But, God, if it comes to Newcastle, that it might have to just be the end. That's it.
Yeah, the experiment is over. It was nice, but it just needs to end there. The Derby was bad enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Chelsea felt a bit scummy for a bit, but...
The dalliances with
Liverpool happened way too often.
Who'd have thought we'd have been longing for the heady days of him being a Wigan fan again?
Well, that was obviously when... Not to give live updates on the podcast, but Bournemouth have scored again.
That'll do.
Alright,
let's see, going in the 90th minute. It's 3-3. Luton have gone and blown it. Well,
where does that sit them then now? Are they a point in front?
2 points behind Forest.
That'll be.
So, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another week done in the books for the podcast. Thank you very much. You three gentlemen for joining me once again. Thank you to all of you guys for tuning in and listening and watching and enjoying along with us. Join us again next week where we'll break it all down for you once again. We'll go through the games, and next week's podcast will be international flavour as we'll be predicting the England games that will be coming up in the incoming. I apparently have lost the ability of speech. It doesn't happen that often, but there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Upcoming, that's the word, upcoming England fixtures. Yes, thank you once again. Join us again in a week's time. Until then, take care of yourselves. Make sure you've got 3 points as well, and we'll see you in a week's time. That's about for now.
So there we go. What do you think to that? Good to have Matt back. Good to have you all here, watching, listening, being a part of the football, being part of the CookieCast crew. If you want to get more into the CookieCast crew, like, share, subscribe and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And check out the website, thecookiecast.com. There we've got social media links and an email button, and that way you can get in touch with us. There we go. That's it. Another football one done. Join us next week for, not surprisingly, more football. But until then, I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to these grumpy old men talk about football. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and subscribe.